Hi, good to see you. Thanks for coming. Take a seat. Show will start in just a minute. Don't get crazy about it. Just calm down. So, did you bring me anything? No? Well, that's odd. I mean, inviting you to listen to the show, you're not paying for this. You don't bring me anything? I mean, you know, at a point, that's a little bit annoying. When I was a little grade school guy, I used to bring an apple to my teacher when I was in first grade. Well, I didn't do it. My mother made me do it. She had like a whole closet full of apples. They were all rotted. She didn't eat that crap, but kids brought her little gifts and things like that. When you go to somebody's house and you're invited to a party, invited into their home, what do? You bring a bottle of wine. You bring alcohol with you. It's the only way you can survive the experience anyway, just in case they don't offer you wine, at least to bring your own bottle. They open up your bottle immediately anyway, out of courtesy. So it's a good thing. But you didn't even bring me a bottle of wine or anything like that. I swear, manners are just, they don't exist anymore. Here's the deal. When you visit me tomorrow to listen to tomorrow's show, bring me something. Anything, a bottle of wine, a new car, a check for $10 million, whatever. Bake a cake. Bake a damn cake and bring that over. I don't eat cake. I like to eat cake, but I'm not supposed to eat cake. Cake's not good for you. It's just flour and sugar and crap, and I'm trying to stay away from that so I may live another day. But the thought, that would count. So, I don't know. I'm kind of tired just telling people what to do. My goodness, you know? I mean, it's only fun if you do it on your own and you don't tell people what to do. That's crazy. That's why I don't go to a therapist. I don't want a therapist telling me what to do. Who are you to tell me what to do? You sit there all day and listen to other people's problems, and you don't have any at all. You don't have any problems. Who listens to you? Nobody, because you're perfect. Now, I don't need a therapist to tell me what to do. I would tell a therapist what they should do. I'd say, look, you know, you're listening to people and their intricate, horrible, life-destroying problems. Then you take money from them and you're perfectly sane? You're a mental prostitute is what you are. You take people's problems, you make them pay you to listen to the problems that they have, and then you take their money. That's prostitution. These people are suffering. They have a need. You're taking money from them? Well, Ron, that's the business. Well, so is prostitution. That's a business too, isn't it? Thank God I pointed this out.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight.
I will.
Things can get a bit weird.
I know.
If you like that sort of thing.
Thank you.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Very good.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Well, welcome to the program. You're looking good today. All right, fine. Enough of that. Oh, man. I was I was struck in awe by something yesterday. By the way, I live in the Boston area. Boston's a very, very nice city, but it doesn't really know what it's doing. Boston is really messed up as far as the number of people are involved. I went to the airport to drop a person off, and I actually slowed the car down when I got near the airport and pushed them out the door with their luggage, because that's about as nice as I get. So I'm driving to the airport. I get to the airport from where I live. It's about, with no traffic, it's about a 22-minute drive. Very, very close. Not so bad. It's all highway. So I do this, and then I start on the way home from the airport after dropping this person off with their luggage. I usually drop them off with their luggage. It doesn't make sense just to drop them off and not drop off their luggage with them. So I get on the exit ramp from the airport, and immediately I'm hit with a line of cars. And I thought, well, what, have I taken a wrong turn into a parking lot? No, Ron, you've taken a proper turn. It's the ramp back onto the highway to go home. It's like a parking lot. And not only does it not inch forward just a little bit, it just stops. I mean, you might as well put the car in park and go get a sandwich and come back later, and your car will still be in the same place. It was that bad. And I said to myself, this has got to stop. How can roads be constructed or refurbished in an infrastructure where it can't handle a rush hour or even close to a rush? This wasn't even a rush hour. This is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The rush hour in Boston starts the day before Thursday. I mean, it has nothing to do with rush hour. There's always traffic. And if there isn't traffic, they're doing some construction on the road, which causes traffic at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's just a horrible place to drive. They had this thing about 20 years ago called the Big Dig, where they created new tunnels that went under the harbor and under the city itself, and it was supposed to take care of all traffic concerns. They finished the Big Dig, and the Big Dig is cost overruns are incredible. It's like five times as much as what they thought. They finish the thing, the tunnels open, 2 hours later there's traffic. It's like, what are you doing? You couldn't build something that relieved traffic a little bit? It's unbelievable. Now there's more traffic than ever. Sure, there's more cars on the road than 20 years ago, but still. So a 22-minute drive to the airport, drive home, and I'm not exaggerating, 2 hours and 15 minutes. 2 hours and 15 minutes to get home from a place that it took me 22 minutes to get to in the first place. I was so pissed. I was cursing the city. And I know this isn't just Boston, probably in most places where the show is heard, you're in an urban area. I mean, only urban people listen to this show. People that live in a trailer park in Mississippi tend not to listen to this kind of thing. I'm assuming. I don't know. I'm assuming. And if you are living in a trailer park in Mississippi, first of all, I apologize. And secondly, how come the UFO didn't take you back into space? Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what it's like. Trailer parks? Yeah, that's where UFOs land. They don't land anywhere. They don't land near private homes or anything like that. I know in the movies, perhaps, they do. But in real life, UFOs tend to land in trailer parks. And they abduct, do they abduct beautiful city women wearing the finest clothes that Paris can offer? No, they abduct women and men who are dressed in pajama pants or torn t-shirts. Those are the ones they tend to take. Hey, aliens, if you're listening to this show, I don't know if my show goes to other planets or other galaxies, but if it does, I think it does, but only on like a 200-year delay. But if it does, let me just tell you, you're picking up the wrong people. If you're going to probe people, at least make them pretty. I mean, probe pretty people. I mean, it's a horrible offense what you're doing to us. But at the same time, if you're going to probe, be a little selective. And the other thing, trailer parks attract tornadoes. I don't know if you know that. It's a weather phenomenon. Any type of incredible storm of any sort, any kind of flooding or tornadoes, you know, hurricanes, they search out trailer parks. They actually hover in the air and they go, "There's a trailer park." And they hit those babies. Anyway, this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, this is bad. Oh, it's starting. It's starting. I don't know where I was. I lost my place completely. I wandered off down the street of trailer parks, and now I'm like stuck in a trailer park area. Oh, my God. Why did I do that? That's what happens. No, I'm saying that most of my listeners are probably urban people who live in cities where the traffic is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. The roads are falling apart, and things are absolutely ridiculous. But, of course, now we have a deficit which has reached new heights or depths. I don't know which we're talking about here. I don't know what the proper terminology is. And now we have no money, not even to get a haircut, much less fix the roads. But it was very annoying to sit in traffic. And here's the worst part. If a city is going to have extreme traffic where it takes you 2.5 hours or 2 hours and 15 minutes to travel like 22 miles, then you got to start having outhouses along the way. Because I'm telling you, after an hour and a half in the car, sitting just inching in traffic and being frustrated totally, I had to pee really badly. And I don't know if there are kids in the room right now, but you may not want to hear this conversation, but I'm going to do it because it's important, because we're all human beings, and let's be honest about this. There's no proper place to pee when you got to go. None. None. What do you do in a car? Do I have to start bringing wide-mouth plastic bottles into the car with me in case I get stuck in traffic? I mean, what am I supposed to do? You drop somebody off at the airport, you can't park the car and spend $30 for parking just to go in and go to the bathroom. You hold it in. And there comes a point where holding it in is just excruciating. It's excruciating. So on my way home, about two exits before my exit off the highway on the way home, having to pee incredibly for 2 hours now, I pulled off the road and I took this exit, and there was a Dunkin' Donuts. You know what? Thank God for Dunkin' Donuts. And I don't mean that in a religious sense at all. But thank God for Dunkin' Donuts. Because when you walk into those places, there's no guard at the door that says, what do you want? You walk in, you go to the bathroom. They don't stop you. It's free bathroom. Now, the condition of the bathroom is absolutely deplorable. There's pee all over the place, and I'm not making that up. There is. You don't touch anything in a Dunkin' Donuts bathroom because everybody uses it. You don't have to buy a donut. You don't have to buy coffee, as tempting as that may be for some people. You can go in there and pee and leave. Of course, use the bathroom, not just, you know, in the restaurant part. But you can do that. So thank God for Dunkin' Donuts for being that kind of service. Dunkin' Donuts, what you're basically doing is you're replacing the outhouse, and I appreciate that. I think I may send a letter to your Dunkin' Donuts corporate headquarters and say thank you for being the world's public bathroom. I really appreciate that with no purchase necessary. You are lifesavers. And you not only saved my life that day, you saved my bladder. And my bladder needed saving. It had exploded to the size of a watermelon. And when I stood there in the men's room there at Dunkin' Donuts, I think it was in the men's room, I'm not even sure. I can't understand sometimes those little funny pictures on the doors. When they don't say men and they don't say women, they have little pictures. And sometimes I can't figure out what the pictures are. Sometimes they do it like a silhouette. They think they're being cute, so they do the silhouette of a man and a woman. I want to tell you something. Silhouettes of men and women, they look kind of the same. So I'm not sure what kind of... Well, actually, there was no urinal in that room, so now I really don't know what kind of bathroom that was. Maybe the men's rooms didn't have urinals at Dunkin' Donuts. I really don't know. But I didn't care at that point. Thank you, Dunkin' Donuts. The service that you provide is beyond reproach. You're good people. I'm not talking about your products necessarily. I'm talking about your bathrooms, just the fact that you let me in. And nobody looked at me. No, they didn't care. I think in Dunkin' Donuts, they probably think, well, if you're going to go in and pee and use the bathroom, maybe you'll buy something. That's a win-win. It's a win-win. Not there. I won. They lost because I didn't buy anything. But I'm just saying, you know. You know, you gotta be thankful for what you have, and I am when it comes to that.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Can we talk about transgenders for a moment? Because I don't really know what I'm talking about. I believe that Bruce Willis is a trans... No, not Bruce Willis, the other one. Bruce Jenner. Whatever. I don't know exactly who that is. Anyway, and boy, well, that really shocked me when Bruce Jenner said that he was going to start dressing like a woman and stuff like that. And changing over, you know, changing teams on that. And I was shocked because he was a triathlete, you know, and you don't really expect that. But I don't know what to expect. It really has nothing to do with what you've done. It's where you are in your life and your physiology and how that connects with your mental thing. And I have no problem with transgender people at all. I don't even think I would know as to which bathroom they use. I don't give a crap. I don't care. What do I care? If a woman uses a men's bathroom, fine. I'm not gonna. So what? I'm not gonna do anything. I don't even look at you. I'm there to do my thing in my stall, wash my hands, and I leave. I don't care if there's a woman in there. You can have unisex bathrooms. It's the same. I don't care. What do I care? I'm not there to meet and greet people. Hey, Ron, where'd you meet your wife? In a bathroom. I was peeing standing up. She was on a toilet. We struck a conversation. We fell in love. I mean, what? That's not going to happen. What do I care if there's a woman in my bathroom or a man who wants to be a woman? What do I care? Do you think I care if I walk into a ladies room, a bathroom, and there's a woman in there? What do I care? So what? No one's staring at anybody's genitals. It's private. There are booths. There are stalls. What do I care? We were so hung up about that. Once we started having co-ed dorms in colleges, that should have taken care of everything. I should take care of the whole bit. What do I care? Co-ed. I mean, you're not supposed to touch other people or look at their genitals. So, like, what do I care? If women are uncomfortable going to the bathroom in a men's room, then don't go. Go to the other one. I don't care. Do what you want. I'm not there for social purposes. I'm in and out, baby. I am in and out of that thing, baby. Do my business, try not to touch anything or look at anything, and just get out of there. And then when you leave that bathroom, just try to forget that you were ever in there. Oh, I care. Why was so people hung up about that? Is it a biblical thing? I don't know. Just get over it. Get over it. What do you care? What do you care? They're not doing anything to you. I mean, if they walk over and grab your ass, I mean, yeah, then I'd care, but they don't. They don't. They're not there for that. One of the most uncomfortable experiences in my life is going to bathrooms in these swanky hotels and these swanky clubs, and they have a restroom attendant. They actually hire somebody. I don't know if they're paid or not. I guess they are. But they work for the establishment, and they stand near the door, and they have a bunch of towels in their hand, and you go to, and they stand there, and they watch you pee or whatever the case may be. They just stand there. And then when you're about to exit, there are no towels. They have all the towels. They have all the hand towels, the paper towels. They have all of them. It's on a table right next to them. You can't take one. They have to give it to you. Then you're supposed to tip them. What kind of job is that? What kind of job is that to hang out in a restroom all day handing people towels who have just urinated or defecated? I mean, come on, man. That's worse than working in a cubicle in an office or in a chemical plant. I mean, my God, what a horrible job. Granted, if that's the only job you have at the time, a job is a job. And I don't know what you make for tips. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you have to tip them because we all went to church at some point in our life, and you're supposed to do that. But that's so uncomfortable. Doesn't seem to bother them. That's their job. Doesn't seem to bother them to stand there and watch people go to the bathroom and hand them towels for money. You know what I call that? A towel prostitute. Yeah, a hand towel prostitute. They're the worst kind. How embarrassing is that? It doesn't get more embarrassing. That's about it. What do you do when you get into conversation with somebody? Hey, Bob, what do you do? I'm a civil engineer. I don't even know what that is. It has nothing to do with running railroads or trains, but I design buildings and things like that. I get about $200,000 a year, to be honest with you. What do you do for a living?
I stand in a restroom with towels. And when someone defecates, they come over to me. I give them a towel. They give me a dollar. I've been doing that for 33 years. My pension is incredible. I'm making on the average about $17 a day.
Okay, bye.
What's the matter? Hey, come back here. Hey, what's the matter? Hey, what's the matter? What did I say that's wrong?
I don't know. We all have our thing, I suppose. I suppose.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not So Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
That's not true. That's not true. That's fake news. Bip, bip, bip. All right, today we're going to take you to the New York Car Show. Ooh. That'll be $72, please. Well, you don't have 70. All right, we'll go to the New York Car Show anyway. Micah is down there, and he's with the Better Business Bureau. No, he's not. He's with the Kelley Blue Book, the KBB. Sounds like the KGB, doesn't it? You got to be careful, Micah, what you say to people. You can't say, what company are you with? I'm with the KGB. Okay. You get long lunch breaks? I'm okay. No, he's with the KBB, Kelley Blue Book. And there's these car shows that take place all over the country. They show basically cars that you can never afford and you will never have. That's what they do. I call them make you feel bad about what you can't get shows. That's what they are. They show you all the cars of the future that you will never own. All the sports cars with all the gadgets and all the new stuff that you will never see. You will never sit in one. You will never own one. You will never lease one. So let's have fun looking at them. But anyway, it does show trends in the automobile market. And of course, if these tariffs go through, they'll be too expensive to even afford. But anyway, I digress as far as that's concerned. Oh, by the way, I lost 5 pounds in 1 week. You want to congratulate me? Thank you very much. Thank you. How did I do it? None of your business. I stopped eating sugar. I stopped eating sugar. I stay away from ice cream. I still eat a little bit of bread, but not a lot, you know. I eat a larger lunch and a petite little, I'm often not even very hungry, dinner kind of thing. And that's what did it. That's where I turned the corner, so to speak. So thank you. Thank you. Yes, well, thank you for congratulating me on losing 5. I don't know where they went. My stomach hasn't reduced all that much. It's not huge to begin with, but I'd like to be svelte. I don't know how to spell that. But thank you. Thank you. I told you a month ago that I was going to do this, and I suggested that you follow along with me, but did you do it? No. No. Did you ever listen to me? No. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. Do I feel like you've shunned me? No. Okay. Let's go to New York with Kelley Blue Book here.
Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hey, Micah, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well.
I understand you're at Coney Island Hot Dog Festival.
Yeah, you know, actually, that sounds like a pretty good follow-up, but no, I'm at the auto show today, and it's been a pretty good day so far.
Okay, great. Boy, they open early there, don't they?
Well, you know, they actually don't. We're here with the pre-auto show.
Yeah.
You know, so people like cleaning things, and there's a lot of hustle and bustle, but
it's
pretty neat time to be here.
I always want to be around for the cleaning portion. That's always the best part. No, we're doing this because, obviously, we do things early in the morning, and they don't open yet, but you're there live, and you're surrounded by automobiles. By the way, Mike Muzio is the managing editor. Video at Kelley Blue Book, which we all know, that's the Bible of cars. And there he is. So now you're surrounded by excitement. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I'll just sort of breeze past the guys that are cleaning the carpet and talk about a really, really cool car here called the Genesis Essentia Concept. And, you know, I've been doing this job for long enough now that I've seen pretty much everything, but it's really great to come to an honor show and see something that I find truly exciting. So I'm going to try and paint the word picture, though a proper visual would do it better justice. But the Genesis Essentia is a grand touring coupe and incredibly sleekly styled. It's got these cool bronze-colored wheels. But one really neat detail is that it's got this translucent cockpit. So when you sit inside of the thing, it's a completely unimpeded view, almost like it's being inside a fighter plane. But the windshield extends down into the hood area, and there are these exposed suspension elements inside. It's just a really neat design. It's also, they talk about having an electric powertrain, and there'll be 0 to 60 runs in like 3 seconds. So, you know, fast, sexy. It's everything I want to see in an auto show in one car.
Now, these are cars that are not yet on the market. Is that correct?
Yeah, so, concept cars serve different purposes. Sometimes they give you a hint of an actual production car. In the case of the Genesis Essentia, it's more of a, this is where our design language is going. It's sort of a general, sense of what the brand is all about. So Genesis is a very new brand, and so they're trying to define themselves aesthetically, and I think they're doing a great job with it with the Essentia. Yeah.
So what is the trend for automobiles this year that you're seeing there? Where are we headed in the industry?
I've got a couple of trends for you. One is that SUVs continue their ascent. So that's something that as you walk around the shows here, cars, the people, automakers still make cars, but people love SUVs.
Yeah.
One of the SUVs that was launched here yesterday was the Hyundai Santa Fe, and it's a good example of the prominence of SUVs. And also another thing we're noticing. Advanced safety technology is being democratized. It's spreading out, so you don't have to pay a lot extra for it, and it's not reserved just for the really expensive cars. So in the Santa Fe, its standard equipment roster includes things like automatic emergency braking with pedestrian detection, dynamic cruise control with stop-and-go abilities, meaning it can literally follow the car ahead of it, and when that car slows down, even to a stop, it will do the exact same thing. And then another safety feature I've never even heard of before, it's called Safe Exit Assist. And the Hyundai Santa Fe will detect if a car is coming up behind it, and if it senses danger, it will prevent you from opening your door so you don't, take a door off. It's really neat technology that I've never even heard of, and it's actually standard across the board in the 2019 Santa Fe.
Wow. That's almost freaky.
Yeah.
All right, so SUVs, safety features, what about as far as interiors go? Can I go on the internet and look at porno? I'm sorry.
Not yet.
I'm sorry.
I'm not going to touch that one, but what I am going to do is point out that the interiors are getting increasingly advanced. One of the big trends inside the car is the integration of smartphones. So, maybe you have an Android phone, or I have an iPhone, and just being able to take that familiar interface and bring it into the vehicle is a really smart way to simplify your interaction with your phone and the entertainment, all the things that you need in the vehicle, but making it very simple and safe. So Apple CarPlay and Android Auto are the key technologies that are enabling that, and you're seeing that sort of across the board. And I will add one other trend that you might have expected, is the continued electrification of vehicles.
Uh-huh.
So, a great example of that, minivans. Minivans are not what you think of when you think of hybrids, but there is now a hybrid minivan in the form of the Chrysler Pacifica. It's actually a plug-in minivan. I've driven the thing, and it's really neat because you plug it in overnight, and when you leave in the morning, you can drive for 33 miles without using a drop of gasoline.
Right.
And then after that, it gets 32 miles per gallon combined efficiency. So it's a
really
efficient minivan, and it's just a minivan. It's really neat.
That's good. I guess your electric bill goes up, though.
Your electric bill does go up, but I think it all pencils out. So
it's
really neat technology.
Very cool. Well, have a hot dog on me over there, if you would, please. Do they have hot dogs, first of all?
I actually haven't seen any hot dogs around here, but I feel like if I made a special request, my car dreams came through with the Genesis Essentia, so no reason my hot dog dreams can't come through, too.
That would be too much to expect, I suppose. So where do we go for more information, Micah?
As a Kelley Blue Book guy, I would love for you to head over to KelleyBlueBookABB.com. We got full coverage of the auto show if you can't make it to New York, and anything if you're buying or selling a car. KBB.com is the hot place to go.
There you go. Hey, everything you want to know about cars, Kelley Blue Book, no question about it. We all know that. Hey, thank you so much for your time today. Good to speak to you again.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. He's the man. A car and a hot dog. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. And join me again tomorrow. Will you do that? I'm waiting. You're not going to answer me, huh? All right, fine. Be that way. Go on.